you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to The Ooze.
Upon decaying every foul wicked spirit in the host, The Ooze.
20 minutes, that door will be on The Ooze. Spread out.
On The Ooze, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
The whole point.
To really tap into adversarial time
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now onto our show.
Okay, thanks for tuning in. I'm TC Downey, and with me on the line is Zach Black. Zach, how the fuck are you today, man?
I'm good, brother. How you guys doing? How you doing today? Welcome for everybody who's tuning in. See the chat room starting to fill up?
Yep. I'm doing good, man. Actually, kind of nice to see a good argument happen just prior to coming into the show, even though the topic that was being argued has nothing to do with our topic today. It's still nice to see Satanism in work. I don't know if many people realize that, but anytime you have two polar stances or even just seemingly different stances and they, are being hashed out as to what the legitimacy of each stance is, that, in fact, is in effect of what Satanism is all about. It's, allowing the strongest to win. It's allowing the what do they call it? Lex Talionis? Is that
Yeah, I believe so.
Right.
Yep. And yeah, I mean, conflict creates for change and evolution, because two sides will oppose each other, and the one that seems to have the stronger argument will generally conquer the other one, and or they will kind of merge together and build something entirely new.
Right. Now, in that, just hearing that, do you think that that means that whatever has been, determined at that point, whichever the stronger influence is, that then can, it's okay to set that as a dogma, or do you think it's better to remain fluid to the possibility that there may be a stronger idea that still comes about?
I definitely think it should remain fluid, and I think that as times change and we evolve, not just society, but as individuals, different philosophies and different things will reemerge. And, what works for you today may not work for you in 20 years, depending on your circumstances, depending on your experiences in life. So, yeah, I definitely think it's a continual process of evolution. It's definitely fluid.
Right. So here's the things that have kind of brought this to me. Recently, I have seen a sentiment from a lot of people who have, in my opinion, not gotten the point of Satanism in the first place, claiming that basically it's just a bunch of negativity. It's just a bunch of people coming in and saying no and arguing and insulting people and whatever. And I think that they kind of wholeheartedly miss the relevance and the importance of what Satanism really is, because Satanism itself, in my opinion, is not necessarily, where it is a whole philosophy, shall I say, it's not a philosophy that has to be enacted by itself solely, meaning that you can have a satanic building stone. The satanic philosophy can be the core of whatever your worldview is, and you can still add other aspects of it, without them coming into conflict.
Oh, for sure. And I think that, Satanism is definitely the foundation of one's personal philosophical beliefs and principles, but based on your individual experiences and mine and our perception of the world around us, it's going to create for a similar but different philosophy that works for you, and your Satanism may not work best for my Satanism, and vice versa.
Right on. Well, see, that's exactly right, but to a point, and only to a point, because people take that little stance that you're saying right there, and they use it as an excuse to justify adding some ridiculous, paradoxical shit to the core philosophy and expect it to float.
I see what you're meaning. Yeah, you're right. I can be more specific on that. Yeah, and the foundation of Satanism is solid, and in its core, it is Satanism. Now, people do use that as an excuse. Well, that means if you're a Satanist, you can basically believe whatever you want. Well, not entirely true, because if you consider yourself a Satanist and you believe these philosophical, ideological principles, the foundation of it, you know, and there is room to have your own personal set of values or philosophies, so long as they're not opposed to the core of what Satanism is. When I see a lot of people, especially when you start getting into, in my opinion, like theistic Satanists, you know, they've stretched the concepts of Satanism to the point of absurdity, in my opinion.
Right on, which is why I've over and over made the distinction between Satanism being the practice of being like Satan and Satanity being the belief of a literal Satan, and that's why I think that the two things are completely different, and that they may share the label Satanist, but if you ask them what they're actually practicing, they should then be able to distinguish it by saying, I practice Satanity, or I practice Satanism, depending on which way that they go. We've already got a caller, so I'm going to go ahead and pull them on real quick here, ma'am.
Sounds good.
Caller, you're on the news.
Shut the fuck up!
Nice.
Lordy. Someone got the pennies in a bunch.
Yeah, and then check this out. They didn't even stay on the line long enough for us to talk back to them. So that just goes to show what a little shriveled dick fucking pussy they are.
Yeah.
So I won't even acknowledge that.
You know, and it's funny, Beast, you know when we start making progress is when we start pissing people off and getting calls like that? That means that people are listening. That means that we're moving this forward and actually making some impact on everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's another thing. I heard an argument made by a certain Calamari King stating that you creating sin wasn't really doing much for modern Satanism, but I beg to differ. You are giving a demonstration that it is not necessary to have some kind of a hierarchical structure. I'm sure I'm saying the wrong word wrong, but I don't give a fuck anyway. You don't need any kind of structure. You don't need any kind of visual organization to it to actually bring people together and exchange ideas and develop together. Oh, wait a minute. We got the 1111 calling back in again. Let's see what they got to say this time.
All right.
Caller, you're on the news. What'd they say?
I don't know. Are they still on the line?
No, they hung up again.
Oh, yeah. Coherent psychobabble from some Christian nut, probably.
It's possible. I would suggest that they take the 4 AA batteries out of their ass before they try to use Skype. There seems to be some kind of magnetic interference going on.
Yeah, and you know, it figures they would use Skype, so they don't have to use their real number, so they can just call in and interrupt our show and get their little chuckle. Hee-hee, I did something today.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
No, they didn't, and that's the thing. Where is progress really measured? That's what it comes down to. Progress in terms of development in Satanism is specific in the individual. There is no way that anybody could judge the entire state of Satanism, which honestly, I started off with the title as like an address to the State of the Union in terms of Satanism, and I came to realize that I can't really call it a state or a union. So by me using that title, I was in fact kind of defeating the whole purpose of what we're trying to, you know, work out here.
Well, you know, before we got kind of sidetracked by the douchebag that called in, you know, you were mentioning about the hierarchy in Satanism and how a certain calamari head has been saying that modern Satanism fails, and, you know, this Sissimus, or whatever the fuck he calls himself, Mr. Avenger, likes to think that he is going to direct Satanism under his umbrella, and of course he thinks he's a chosen one and the Messiah, and he wonders why no Satanist any merit take him seriously, because that's not what Satanism is about. You know, Satanism has always been a loosely structured cabal of individuals doing their own things that share a similar ideology and philosophy. You know, and that was the whole point behind Satanic International Network, was to create a network, not an organization or a group or a church. And Venger misses that point. Venger, I mean, calling the Cult of Cthulhu the Cult of Cthulhu, you know, Satanism doesn't need a cult leader. And that's what Venger is. Venger is a cult leader. He's got that online persona, that his alter ego, the Sissimus or whatever, the Messiah, and he's looking to collect a mass of followers. And by its very nature, Satanists aren't followers. So he fails. He fails big time. And he will always fail until he pulls his head out of his ass.
Right. Now, here's the thing. He attracts what I call satanic sycophants. And I think actually LaVey actually referred to them in the same way. They, you know, that they're wolves in, or sheep in wolves' clothing, so to speak. You know, they're the ones that are kind of cheerleaders. They're standing on the sideline going, yeah, yeah, because he said so. But
right.
What it really all comes down to, in my mind, is having a thing called philosophical consistency. And what this means is from a very basic premise all the way through to the most complicated premises that you carry in your mind, there is a level of consistency that happens. And that consistency varies depending upon each person, but the more consistent something is, obviously, the more merit it holds.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. And, well, you know, if we're still speaking of, you know, Mr. Squid, you know, Lord Squid Satanus, basically, I mean, he's not very consistent. I don't think so. I mean, when I met him, you know, I think you introduced me to him, you know, about a year ago, a little over a year ago, back in, yeah, about a little over a year ago. You know, we all thought he was tongue-in-cheek. Most of us did. We didn't really think that he was like, you know, he thought he put a new spin on Satanism. And then after your guys' falling out, that's when he kind of started to launch the Chosen One and the Messiah and the Sissimus, and really, really starting to go to town on modern Satanists, and considers us all stupid and base compared to his, you know, his philosophies, which are hard to actually pinpoint.
Right, absolutely. One of the things that I would actually like to kind of contend with here is that anybody who thinks that they're going to be able to walk into a room and say, this is the true definition of Satanism, and slap their hands down, well, they've obviously missed the whole point of Satanism in the first place. So, you know, it's curious to me, because it's really disheartening in a way to see so many people be gullible and just buy something that somebody says based on whatever quote-unquote merit they might have. You know, the only real merit anybody should carry is sound logic, to be able to present an infallible argument. Until you can present that infallible argument, you know, your opinion is more or less just that, an opinion. It's not a fact, and it doesn't matter, you know, if most of the conclusive evidence reaches this point. The fact that there's any form of, variance or a percentage of inconsistency should indicate to you that what you're talking about is a subjective thing rather than an objective thing. So But we're going the wrong way here with this. What I really want to do today, and since we have everybody in the chat room, I'm figuring that between all of us, we can really come up with some good ones. I would like people to call in 347-989-1371 or Skype in and let us know A, what criticisms you've heard of Satanism, and B, how you dealt with the criticism, or if you dealt with the criticism at all, or how you would deal with the criticism that's happened. Because there's some things that I've heard said, like basically that modern Satanism is cliquey, and that there's like group leadership going on, and that disqualifies it because a whole bunch of Satanists came together and called you an idiot. They're obviously not individuals in that aspect. But that's bullshit, because the truth of it is, if everybody's calling you on it and you're not at least perceptive enough to step back and look at yourself and say, wait a minute, is this right or is this wrong? You miss completely. You're an insignificant butthurt twit who needs to go do some more homework. You know, if you can't take that criticism face up, no matter how hard it is, no matter how harsh that criticism is, if you can't take it, then most likely you're going to be a naysayer, one who says that modern Satanism isn't what it was supposed to be. So.
Yeah, you know, I think Satanism is going in the direct path that it should be. I think it's actually more productive now and growing faster now than it ever has before. And I think it's, you know, it doesn't need anybody to grab the horns and steer away and to try to point in this direction and redefine what Satanism really is, you know, and get a hierarchy or a structure or an umbrella. Yeah, it's bullshit. I mean, it's always been what it is. It is what it is, and it will continue to evolve the way that it does. And the hanger-ons and the fallacies of the past, the organizations, the churches. I think we're going to all see that dissolve almost entirely, probably within our lifetimes.
Right on. I mean, there's a lot of misunderstanding and. I don't even want to say generalizations that are made, and most of them are made in a negative aspect. For example, the 80s satanic panic, you know, the baby sacrifices and the kidnapping of virgins and stuff, and all that bullshit that other people were projecting upon what Satanism really is, and they obviously never took, you know, an hour maybe is what it would take to actually read the Satanic Bible. It's been a couple of months since I've done that, but I think it's maybe an hour to sit down cover. If you can read, you know, up a page a minute, you can get through it pretty quickly. Not necessarily an hour if I'm thinking about it. I think the Satanic Bible is actually like a couple hundred pages, but you know, either way, the whole point of what I'm getting at is that most of the time people project onto Satanism their own downfalls. Like, for instance, our Calamari friend here, he doesn't understand how his constant solicitation for quote-unquote followers to worship him put faith in him, that his wisdom is somehow more all-knowing than anything all the rest of us could get to, that he's somehow a chosen person to, you know, guide the rest of us into his tentacly new reality. You know, the fact that everybody calls bullshit on that, to him, indicates that there's something wrong with us, but what it is he's projecting the fact that it's wrong onto Satanism, when it's his own fallacies, his own flaw in logic that's time and time again proving to us that he's an idiot. So I'm kind of bouncing all back and forth all over the place. I don't think I've ever seen this many people in the chat room at one time actually talking.
Right.
Now, there is 1, 2, 3, 4 guests which need to sign into Blog Talk Radio and come in under their real name so we know who you are and we have the benefit of engaging with you as well. Or you can call in 347-989-1371. Let's stop for a minute. What are some of the one of the arguments that I've heard is that Satanism is just atheism with humanism and I don't know bohemianism mixed in with it, and that's not quite what it is. That actually kind of falls really short of what Satanism is. So that's one thing that's often said about Satanism that's absolutely correct or incorrect. It does have those aspects to it, but there's more philosophically to it than what's being expressed here. One thing, and I'll thank Dan Dredd for giving me something to reference really quickly, but Dan Dredd's proposed this auto-diabolic method, and it's basically a strive towards philosophical minimalism. That's a core element that's not even expressed in humanism or bohemianism or atheism, that is itself inherently all by itself an aspect of this. So, and to answer your question, Dan Dredd, that's absolutely true. It's maybe a half an inch in length. So,
I've been hearing that Satanism is just, atheists dressed up in a Halloween outfit and shit like that for a long time. You know, I'd have to disagree. There are many differences. One being, Satanism is adversarial, whereas atheists are kind of indifferent. There's a lot of reasons why it's different. But, yeah, I've heard that, too. And then on the flip side of that coin, you have people that still go around thinking that Satanists are a bunch of devil worshipers. And it's funny because on YouTube, I get I probably get one or two emails a day, people wanting me to explain Satanism. Are you Satanists really just atheists? Or why do you worship the devil? Don't you know you're going to burn in hell? And I used to take the time to actually respond to them. But now I just type in one sentence, read the Satanic Bible. It's like people expect you to do their homework for them, and explain it to them because they're too lazy or too stupid to actually go and read a book, a short book, as it is that. I mean, shit. In fact, I would say just read the first half of the book.
Right. Well, Zach, I don't know that you've ever finished a book in your life, so... I would have to say that holds completely true.
I've finished many. It's just been a good 5 years since I've actually sat down and read one cover to cover.
All right. Fair enough. I'm just busting your chops anyway, man. But
I know. Actually, you know what? We'll give Jason a plug here. Actually, the last book I read was probably about a year ago, like cover to cover. I mean, I've thumbed through some shit, but the last one I read was Postmodern Satanism by Jason King. And I've actually read that twice. I read it all the way through, and then I went back and I reread the first half. And then I actually gave that book to Son of Jack to read for himself. So, yeah.
And here's something that I actually want to just kind of throw out there. And talking about atheism and Satanism and all that stuff, and that Satanists are just, dressed up atheists and all that crap. That is somehow, in my mind, the furthest thing from that. If I was to, let's say, want to rebel against Derek and his whole calamari kung fu shit, what would be the strongest stance that I could take against him? What would be the best way for me to discredit it? Do you know?
Yeah. Are you asking me?
Yes, I'm asking you. What would be the best?
I would just, I personally would go for the whole Chosen One and the Messiah thing and the Sisyphus thing, which is utterly ridiculous, and why his ego of, well, he's such an egomaniac that he feels that he needs and is the only one that can steer and control Satanists, which are individuals on their own, which don't need to be steered and controlled, which by very nature are individualist and would rebel against that in the first place. So I don't understand exactly why he thinks he can do that and who he thinks he's going to get on board with them other than a bunch of weak-minded wannabes, which is what the Cult of Cthulhu is made of.
Right. Well, just to kind of summarize what I was looking for, because you did in fact do what I was looking for, you called bullshit on it. That was the one best way that you can immediately discredit something, by calling bullshit on it and then offering something up in its place, which is exactly what you did. So the Satanist doesn't necessarily deny the existence of a God because he doesn't know one way or the other. Instead, what he does is call bullshit on it based on certain principles or premises. Like, for instance, if there was an all-knowing, all-powerful God, then why would he allow suffering of a child? Why would anything that he did in his great scheme, his great plan for the universe, involve suffering with children? It just doesn't make any sense. You know,
right.
It's just from there. So, yeah, there's not even a necessity to even say I don't believe in a God. Although I don't believe in a God is just as valid of a reason for calling bullshit on a God as what I was just saying. But the point is that that's what Satan did. Satan said, well, fuck you. You know, I'm calling bullshit on this shit. And this is why. And, you know, that has been what has been giving the merit to this whole thing from the beginning. Now, anybody having a difference of opinion with me or wanting to address anything at all, come on, call in 347-989-1371. I was really hoping to get more of an interactive show. I know all of you people out there who are listening have a fucking opinion. So let's hear your opinion. I mean, we put 111 on twice, and the first time you said fuck you and hung up, and the second time, well, I couldn't understand it. But at least he called in, you know, go ahead.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I understand what you're getting at. I mean, you know, in the, mythological aspect, Satan was the one to rise up and challenge the will of God and become his own God, you know, and if you're looking for why you would call bullshit on the possibility of God, well, there's dozens of reasons. Another one would be like natural disasters. If God is all-forgiving and all-loving, why would he fucking create earthquakes that kill, you know, millions of innocent people, you know?
Right.
Sinners and non-sinners alike, indiscriminately, you know, what's up with that, you know? I mean, you know, why, if he's all-loving and forgiving, why would he punish, and you know, people and create them with the concept of sin and desire, give people desires and longings that he would consider sinful? If, you know,
right.
We're all created in his image, I mean, none of it makes any sense. It's all bullshit. It's all about, you know, religion and control. And, you know, there might be a God, but if there is, who cares? You know, I mean, if there is a God, I mean, fuck him. I mean, if he's going to like us or he's not, we should just live our lives accordingly and move forward.
Now, here's something that I think is very interesting that I kind of want to address since we're addressing the naysayers today. For those people who attack theism, and there are a couple I know in this room right now that are going to be right up against me and have something immediately to say about what I'm saying. I want you guys to really understand what's going on with theism, because it took me a long time to kind of piece together in my mind what's going on with theism. A long, long time ago, my mom gave me a book on Freudian psychology, and one of the concepts that was outlined in Freud's philosophy was the concept of projection. We've just recently covered this, I think last weekend on Saturday on the news. But what the theist does is the theist takes qualities about himself that he's either uncertain of or unsure of or kind of afraid of and doesn't understand, and he projects that. We do this psychologically to create a kind of a defensive barrier around our core self so that what we're working through might not have the effect of totally ripping apart our reality. So this is really what theism is, in my mind, is a mass projection. It's a psychological projection that's happening. You're taking these qualities within yourself that you don't understand, that you don't know if you can handle, that's too big, it's too scary. You put it out there, and that becomes your deity. That becomes your enemy. Or your friend, or however. I honestly believe that more Christians hate God than non-Christians. You see it all the time in movies, these plots, these scripts where the person's going through this long crisis of faith because their entire family was ripped away from them and they hate God. And in the end of it all, it always never fails that you kind of come to realize that they're hating on themselves. And it's kind of a subjective, unconscious thing that you've come up to. So I would love to hear an argument against what I'm saying there. But my mind is that, theism is not necessarily a bad thing. It just means that you don't have the stones to deal with the reality like someone who's non-theistic might.
You know, Beast, I wish I was a theist. I wish I believed in God. I really do, because it'd be nice to be able to walk around with the delusion like, hey, whatever I do in this life doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter if I, make the wrong decisions, if I'm not responsible, if I, don't actually do anything, because, hey, when I die, I'm going to be in everlasting paradise, whatever that paradise may be. I guess it's different from people to people, but I don't know, man. It's a security blanket. I don't know. As adults, I think we don't need to believe in imaginary friends anymore, personally.
Yeah, well, see, but that's the whole thing. That what other justification does there become when we stop and really think about this thing? At this day and age, you shouldn't need to know one way or the other if there is some mythological entity that's outside of your realm of understanding. As a matter of fact, there is. There is an entity that's all-knowing, ever-present. It's all things. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it has some form of anthropomorphic personality or embodiment. The universe in itself, or whatever all of reality is in itself, fits the description of a God, less the fact that there's some kind of conscious, action being taken or will being manifested.
Right. You kind of break down into the kind of the definition of what is God. I mean, most people would look at God as being a conscious, all-present, all-knowing being that created everything. An actual deity, and it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. I mean, we've talked about this before, and obviously there are forces greater than man that exist that we have little, if any, understanding of, but I reject the idea that they're conscious or they're deities or they give two shits about us.
Right on.
That's just me.
All right, hang on. We actually have another caller. Caller, okay. You're on news.
Hi, you guys. This is Sarah. I just wanted to talk about theism, at least as somebody who used to believe in a deity or, like, God.
Okay.
And kind of, like, I don't know. So, like, I can understand where somebody's coming from with a theistic point of view, but, like, back then, I feel like you, like, grow up out of it.
Okay. Do you... I'm sorry, do you actually resonate with the idea I presented that theism itself is a form of psychological projection?
Oh, yeah, totally, completely. Like, I remember just waking up one day and being like, that is everything I'm scared of. like I'm making like a bubble for myself.
Right.
For like everything to be okay.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to describe. So thank you for validating that. If you'll just hang on the line, 11111 is calling back in again.
Okay.
11111, you're on the air.
Shut up, bitch.
Shut up, bitch. Kill yourself.
Wow. We're actually getting trolled today. I fucking love it.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Okay. So, what do you think of all the naysayers who claim that modern Satanism is not what it was intended to be, that it is somehow different than the core idea that was expressed?
I mean, everything evolves. I mean, even like theistic Christianity evolved from a singular idea. So of course it's not like what it exactly was when it started. But you just gotta, I guess, roll with it. I don't know.
Right on. All right, let's go ahead and we got a 402 caller. 402, you're on the air.
Oh, hello.
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 Am I here? Oh, this is TV's God.
TV's
so
God.
Audible, good.
Yeah.
All right. I have been missing a little bit here because obviously, you know, I'm at work, so I'm running back and forth. But I was questioning a little bit about you just talking about the concept of theism psychologically and the idea of it being like a projection.
Right. Yeah,
Okay. I don't know. What I'm thinking is I definitely see that, but I think it's a little bit different to different people. It's particularly born-again that I see that most in. Like that how they speak of their gods really, really seems like they're just defending a piece of their own mind. But one of the things I've noticed, like, just seems interesting to me how the role of what theism means changes through time if you look at it. Like, cause if you look at even just, like, Old Testament, or then you go back to, like Norse, whatever, gods don't seem so much so pantheist as they do now, you know? Like, the idea that the universe is God, or that, like, God consciousness, they kind of do in, like, Hindu and such, but, like, even Old Testament God, it really seems like they're more just mighty kind of beings that create rather than like the being that's an avatar of everything. While they do kind of speak of it that way, it really seems like only more in modern times do we sort of justify it that way.
Yes and no. I think in context, historically, that's accurate. But in my opinion, it still has always been some form of a group projection that's kind of happening. I think in the Old Testament, they wanted themselves to be, because they had been wandering for 40 years or whatever, blah, blah, blah. I think that they wanted themselves to be all of these qualities that they were embodying in their God, and that's why their God was so brimstone and fire. You know, you had the little stories like Sodom and Gomorrah and stuff like that. It was a projection of something that they were maybe deficient of, so it was not necessarily a projection in the Freudian sense, but a projection period, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a part of it, though, is what I'm thinking is, like, I think just noticing the difference on what role gods play. Like, if you look at, you know, ancient mythologies of several gods, gods seem to be less important, and there seems to be a hierarchy of gods, and then more and more as you get to monotheism, it gets more and more into God as the universe, but there's sort of this gray area in between that it had traveled to get to that point. And I think a lot of it, too, like, this is a bit of a separate point, but I think when you get more into the pantheist kind of God concept, I think that is more and more into like psychological projection, and I think the human mind just has like a tendency toward delusions of grandeur, you know, like, and it manifests in different ways, but there's obviously this will in the mind to see something big and epic. And whether it's considering yourself big and epic, or like, and you'll see that a lot in particular, like in drug addicts, that manifests a lot in, and insane people manifests a lot, the belief, people have the will to believe that they that you're somewhere in some giant epic struggle, and you know, like, I think a lot of people that's what religion satisfies, the need in the mind for that kind of concept, where they don't actually see it literally around them. They see the world as mundane around them, so they have to build this big epic construct behind it that's some epic battle of good and evil or whatever.
Right on, man. I can't really argue with you, because I think that all you're doing really is reinforcing what I'm saying, which is basically just that it's a form of projection that's happening. It's an embodiment of a certain set of things that they can't accept or deal with on their own internal level, so they have to create some kind of an external explanation for it, which is why you have you know, the concept of morality that comes about and everything. You know, there's some kind of idea that the whole idea of you know, doing unto others as you would want done to you kind of thing, but we know that that's not how things really happen. And because reality's not really like that, because things aren't always going to be done to you in the way that you would do them, we find when the situation hits like that, that it's immediately demonized. So, it's a projection, yes.
Yeah. I don't know, I pretty much agree with what you're saying, so
yeah, that's
trying to muster something more stimulating to say to try and probe the conversation in a different direction, but all I'm doing is reinforcing everything in my mind here.
Right on, and that's really how it should be, which shows me, and this is a perfect example of modern Satanism actually working. Because what we're doing here is we're colliding these two different ideas together and finding that there's actually a lot more that's similar about them than different, you know, which is what Zach was kind of talking about in the earlier part of the show. I don't know if you caught it, because I was making mention of how, you know, they're two polar opposite ideas, and one eventually becomes the winner. And then he actually went into context of, well, sometimes they actually come together and merge together, and something emerges that is a combination of the two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of that, too, is really people think more parallel than they communicate sometimes. Like, people think of thoughts and express them in completely different ways, and it isn't until you really take them apart that you realize maybe they are kind of saying the same thing, and things can appear very differently just in how you phrase it, your use of metaphor, your use of analogy, or just your use of words and inflection can really make two concepts seem so different when they're really not. And I think that's the major point, like, of debate I notice is usually when I see people who are sort of open-minded but very hard at debate, usually more and more I tend to see how they actually more agree with each other than they think.
Right. That seems to be a big it seems to be the biggest bump in the road that we cross, is that people oftentimes look for the small percentage of place that it differs, rather than actually noticing the large percentage of place that it overlaps, if you know what I'm saying. Like, for instance, you could have two 1965 Pontiac GTOs sitting side by side, same engine, same transmission, same tire type, even the same interior color, but the outside paint job, one's black and one's red. And the distinguishment then rests really primarily on that difference of the black and red. You know, I prefer black, I prefer red.
Right. You know. Well, you know, when you talk about merging philosophical ideologies and principles, it shouldn't be merged as a compromise to end conflict. It should be merged as, like, taking the best that each has to offer and creating something entirely new. I just want to make that distinction.
Yeah, I think one of the things I think, though, is that – in a way, what you have to try and seek out is the difference, because you more and more weed out what you actually do agree on, and then it's that clash between what you don't that is the real wonder there and the real debate, and really what new ideas are going to spring from is the conflict of ideas rather than, you know, the agreement, because agreeing ideas can reinforce themselves all they want, but they're just still, if you believe something and that doesn't change, it's just at a point of stagnation, you know? It's what you question and what you believe and what someone can get you to question and what you believe that's really going to progress you into believing something else.
Right on. Absolutely. So real quick, TV, while we got you on here, man, is there any criticism of modern Satanism that you've heard that you just want to destroy right now?
Not really, but just because I don't really, like, to me, what exactly modern Satanism means is not something I really think about. Like, I don't really think of myself as a modern Satanist or really think about what that means. I guess I just haven't really looked too much into people debating over, like, that concept. It's just to me, it just seems like a title bash. I mean, I definitely do, like, I don't really support people who are, you know, like, the word of LaVey and nothing else, but, you know, like, I don't know. I don't really think too much about what modern Satanism means.
Right on. Okay. And that's fair enough, man. Well, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, it was cool to be on, and luckily nobody came to the desk while I did.
Yeah, sounds good. Now you can go back to spying on those maids as they're changing over the rooms or whatever it is you do.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'll go back to that.
See ya. Take it easy, TV.
I get this feeling that TV's actually like the guy that all the you know, maids, the housekeeping have to, you know, come and worship. He's always on his computer while he's at work, which typically suggests that he has some kind of authority where he's at, that he has the lax to actually be able to do that. You just get that kind of feeling. He's like, yeah, clean the rooms, bitches. Right on. But where are we at? 12 minutes left in the show. Real quick, my whole point in this whole thing was if you think there's something wrong with modern Satanism, if you think there's that we're doing it wrong somehow, if you are against some of the ideas that are pushed forward, or your feelings are hurt by the things that are said, well, you know, then go find a place that you fit, because it obviously isn't your walk.
Well, you know, I think what we're doing, not only the Ooze, not only the Static National Network, but on an individual level with everybody, it's just, you know, I think that is what modern Satanism is, and it's where it's evolving. A lot of us start off in the LaVeyan, you know, playground, and realize that there doesn't need to be grand poobahs, doesn't need to be memberships, yada yada, you know. And now with the technology at our disposal, we can have these live blog radio shows and get, you know, listen to everybody. We can have a network where everybody can come together without having to pay any stupid fees or, you know, worship any Assistants or anything like that. Yeah, I think it's moving in the direction that it should be going, and hopefully it'll continue to do so. I don't see why it wouldn't. And I believe, and in fact, if I, not that this necessarily gives any credibility to what I'm saying, but I remember something in Satan Speaks written by Anton LaVey. He said something like, the internet's going to change everything, including Satanism. And I think he's right. I think it's moving exactly how it should be moving. And, you know, Jason goes into that as kind of the state of the current and stuff like that. And I think it's going along just fine the way it is. I don't think we should fuck with it. I think it's fine.
Yeah, well, inherently, I've come to some kind of a realization throughout my life that all things kind of happen just as they're supposed to happen, that they happen the way that they happen because the situation or the circumstances in which it arose from were right for it to happen at that point in time. So to suggest some kind of an alternate reality at that moment. Well, it's all fantasy. It's all speculation. And so with that being said, I'm in complete agreement with you that it's going the direction that it's supposed to be going. In my mind, it's actually kind of interesting how Satanism has always sort of reflected the actual state of mankind as it sets right there in the moment. When Anton LaVey first pointed his finger on the current of what Satanism was, there was a lot of the same sentiments that he was dealing with within the book that were popularly on people's minds at that point in time. If you look at some of the writings that were released all within that period in time, you see that there was this reoccurring kind of sentiment. The theme was all the same in a lot of aspects. So people were all kind of thinking that way already. So I guess what I'm getting at here is that that there's a direct reflection that happens here. And one of the things that I've noticed that's been happening within Satanism is that there's more and more sycophants actually coming along, and less real Satanists. And it's kind of interesting that it reflects the fact that people are, in general, getting dumber. And there's less and less truly brilliant, truly inspiring people. For instance, anybody who likes Eckhart Tolle, if you ever read any books and then read his book, you're going to scratch your head and go, this guy's an idiot. Yet there are so many people, that the King Calamari himself even, that want to place so much merit in the shit that he's saying, but all he's doing is rehashing the same bullshit.
Interesting. Yeah, I've never read that book. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's like when LaVey was at the right time, the right place, there was a social atmosphere, a vibe, wanting change. There was an outlash against the conservative nature of the 40s and 50s and the 60s with the, you know, the Love Generation and the rebellion of the war and, you know, free love and all this stuff. It was like the right place, the right time. And now LaVey didn't, you know, do that to society. The current was manifesting or changing society, and LaVey was able to tap into that to his advantage and create modern-day Satanism.
Right on. Right, absolutely. Well, no, looks like we for a minute there had 1111 back on the line, but apparently they didn't make it to being put on. I'm actually kind of finding it interesting that we're getting trolled like that.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of hard to troll on Blog Talk Radio, though, since you have your hand on the switchboard and it keeps calling it on the same fucking number. But, yeah, it's entertaining.
It is entertaining, needless to say. I don't have an argument to anything you just said, Zach. As a matter of fact, all I can really do is say I agree, which doesn't really get us too far in conversation anyways.
True.
The fact of the matter is that different people will observe different tendencies within the state of the world. And those tendencies are only so good as you can actually, I don't know, continue to validate it through whatever precepts you're doing. Reality is just one of those funny things, in my opinion, that we all know that there must be something that is objective on the other end, like this desk. Yeah, you know, it's obviously a solid piece of matter that's sitting in front of me, but is that really what it is? It's a desk because, well, it's what it's been shaped to be right now. But I could change it very quickly with the light of a match, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Is it still a desk once I've set it on fire, or is it something else at that point?
I don't know. You ask me, because I personally don't give a shit about these types of conversations about speculative, theoretical, you know, concepts of reality.
And that's exactly what it is speculative, theoretical concepts of reality. And that's kind of what I was getting at. One of the things that I love about you, Zach, is the fact that When it comes to philosophy, you're more minimalistic than Dan Dreg could ever hope to be.
I don't know if I'm minimalistic or just indifferent. It's hard to say at this point. I don't know if one gets blurred into the other.
I think they all kind of both work together there in that you just do not give a shit if it doesn't affect your immediate reality.
Correct. And correct.
That, to me, is probably one of the best things about you, because you leave so much left unintruded upon, if that makes sense. You're not, you know, drawing an opinion on something that you don't even have a leg to talk about. You know, like, for instance, for you to come in and say, hey, I think, you know, homosexuality is horrible, and you've never yourself been around a homosexual or interacted with a homosexual or had some kind of homosexual interaction yourself, you know, you really don't have anything to speak on because you have no experiences to draw from, you know.
Right. You know, I mean, I do, I try not to talk out of my ass, and I try not to. Sometimes I do, but I, for the most part, I don't. I just if it, you're right, if it doesn't affect me, I don't care. And, like, even with that particular example, you know, I would think, like, if you got a problem with gay people, then don't be gay. You know, who gives a shit? I'm not gay, so it doesn't affect me. So whatever.
Right, and it's actually that mentality in itself that I can both commend and condemn at the same time, but at this point I'm going to commend it because it seems to be the better way of negotiating reality. You know, it's like me offering an opinion on what the government should do in terms of economics when I myself have never run a government. Now, I realize that that's a logical fallacy to assume that because I've never run a government, I might not have a valid opinion on that. But at the same point, that doesn't change the validity behind it.
Right.
So,
right. Well, no. Yeah, it's true. I mean, yeah. Yeah. Oh, but, you know, in that particular situation, we've come up with this thing we call voting so that we can all throw out our massive collective opinions, which is kind of a failed endeavor, but whatever.
Right on. So, okay, 2 minutes left, man. We're done with any kind of intellectual lifting that we were going to do today. I don't know if this show's been good or bad. I want to honestly say for all of you guys that think we're doing something wrong, go fuck yourself. That's just going to be the end of it there. That's it, man. You have anything you want to bring up?
No, I'll reiterate what you said. You know, it's anybody who thinks that we're doing something wrong. You know, the proof is in the pudding. And until you can bust out something of relevant of merit, you can go kill yourself.
Right on. All right. And with all that being said and done, we're going to be heading back to the Sin chat room right after the outro plays. I hope to see you all there. Thanks for coming out.
Thanks for calling in, and thanks for all the guests showing up. The chat room has probably been the most active that I've ever seen it.
Rock on.
Thank you for listening to the Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by TC, Zach, Jason, Matt, or any other institution represented by them. If you have been offended by the production of this show, we are sorry, but it's the old expression goes. Tough luck. Special thanks to Dr. Rocky DeRoma for his contribution to this outro. The Ooze is the Creative Oddity Studios product and is presented by Titanic International Network as its official Blog Talk radio show. Why waste your time with those other guys?